Welcome to the Revenue Marketing Report powered by CaliberMind. This is the podcast for marketers trying to expand their leadership skills. I'm your host, Kamala Thompson. And Jordan, I'm interested to hear your perspective on what B2B websites get wrong.
Oh man, what B2B websites get wrong. Well, I hope this is the longest of the three episodes.
It's okay if it is.
You know, the interesting thing about B2B is there is a amazing ability, and I'm going to start off with the good. Usually I don't, by the way, but I'm going to start with the good. There's an amazing ability for B2B marketers to genuinely understand and empathize with the product and the solutions that they have to offer, right? The marketers, by and away, often really, at least the good ones, really genuinely understand what it is they're selling and why they're selling it and what value it creates, right? And I think that that is where you do have to start, right? You have to start with that appreciation for the product and its capabilities that you're going to market with. And if you don't start there, then everything you do is likely going to be, you know, not as genuine and lack some sort of empathy to the core user and consumer of your software. So that you have to start with. You have to start with that understanding. But as we layer into what the websites of these companies often lack, it is a combination of faulty errors. And I'm going to start with the most common one that all of us experience, because we are also consumers as much as we are B2B marketers. And that is that we overly rely on our internal knowledge and nomenclature to describe features and solutions of our product. And that is the most important part of our website, because it is the transition of a potential prospect or potential, you know, user, browser, into an advocate or a consumer or customer of our product. It is those pages that truly transform a user's mindset from being someone who's like, I'm going to explore this website, to, wow, this is actually what I need and I want to buy it, or I want to use it, or I want to try it, or I'm going to sign up for this demo, or whatever that next step is. Those are typically the pages that speak to that decision of making the choice to engage with the product.
Amen. That's it. That's all. No, but seriously, yeah. I'm thinking of some other stats I've seen recently. You mentioned the content consumption, but 57% of website homepage visitors don't scroll beneath the fold. You get 0.05 milliseconds to make a first impression, and too many website headlines, and I've fallen into this trap, are so vague that your user is never going to be able to figure out how that ties to what you do. It's like the backyard barbecue test or the cocktail party test. If you gave them that one liner on the headline, what are the odds they'd actually be able to guess what it is your company does?
That's right. Yeah, that's a big part of it. And the crazy thing is, it's not just our homepage. That's a huge part of it, because it's the first impression, right? But it's also all of those solutions and feature pages that we create on our sites. And we often just overly expect that the person on the other side just has to know how this ginormous convoluted piece of software that we've been developing for the better part of 18 years is going to be conveyed on this one page. And that is just so wrong. It's such a misnomer. And it's also one of the places that we invest the least in. Right. We just don't, we set it up. We set up this great automation page that our software has, this functional automation that helps everyone save all this time. But does it ever mention that they save time? Does it ever mention how that works? Does it ever detail out the benefits of customer X, Y, and Z that gain that credibility out of it? Oftentimes we forget to go back and revise and improve and expand on that narrative that then truly connects with that consumer who goes, oh, that's exactly what I was looking for. That's what I need. That's what my business needs to be more efficient.
I'm having flashbacks, because I had a CEO push for save time, money, and something else. Saw that exact headline on a completely different product website. It's not enough to say that you save people time. You have to do it in a way that is relevant to their job and how they operate. So it's not enough anymore to say, get more time back with your family. Well, how are you going to let them do that? That's a great promise, but how are you going to deliver? And is it believable? Because I think there's a lot of skepticism because so many of us have made claims that aren't supportable.
You're absolutely right. And I think this is where it gets super complicated for us as marketers and web developers. And that is that the conversation has expanded from let's build a page that's about a solution or a feature. It's actually become a conversation of let's build a page that addresses a user's experience online that is about a solution or a feature. Because today, not every user that ends up on that page is coming in with the same intentionality, right? And I think this is what's important in some companies and some websites do a phenomenal job of being able to address this, right? Let's take a B2B product that has both an SMB solution and an enterprise solution, right? So you now have the ability to sell into two different types of customer bases, two different types of business bases. But the reality is that all of your solution pages are one-dimensional. They just speak what the solution is. When in reality, if I'm a small business owner, I want to be able to quickly identify if I can afford to use this solution for my business based on, say, the number of seats I'm going to have or the type of usage I'm going to use on the platform, right? And so if you can quickly dispel that small business owner's fear, you're going to be able to really talk to them about that solution now, right? And that ability to do that is so powerful. And you're talking about one solution page. And that's the thing that we miss as marketers, that it's an experience that then transfers into the actual narrative or outcome that you have about a solution or feature.
And I want to be pretty clear on what we mean there because for me, I am never going to recommend a rotating hero to solve this problem.
Right.
I think we need to talk about personalization a little bit. There's low tech, high tech ways. What have you seen work?
Yeah, I mean that is absolutely right. This isn't the rotational banner is a solid guessing game, right? That's a good luck moment. But there's actually great ways to entice your users with questions. So, are you a small business owner? Like ask a question on these pages and then create a content that supports that user's need, right? That's the first thing. The other components here are, and in some cases this works really well, it's about not being as narrow-minded about your navigation, right? We often are either trying to consolidate or overexpand our navigation, but our navigation is likely the best gateway to help that small business owner or that enterprise to fall into the right set of content, right? So how we organize our websites almost matter as much as what we say on the pages. We often forget about that, right? How many B2B websites have you seen update their navigation frequently? Not many. It's a pretty rare occurrence.
Oh my gosh, it's so unfortunate. I'm so glad you're passionate about information architecture because I think it feeds back to that statement you mentioned earlier about our over-reliance on internal terms to describe things. So I
Yes.
see that all the time in navigation.
Oh, 100%. Navigation is more often than not a guide map to your office. And all of us have probably experienced this, right? A spouse or a partner or your child comes to the office. Do you think they know where they're going? No, of course not. They've never been to the office before, right? I mean, this is kind of a tough analogy now in the post-pandemic era where nobody goes to the office, but if anyone has gone to an office recently, and you don't go to it frequently, you know that it's not that easy to get around. And that's what we do with our websites. We create this internal map of how it works, but that's not how consumers look at our product.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
It is. It is.
How would you recommend people start to go about learning the language that their end users use?
One of the things that as B2B marketers we have to be more comfortable doing is testing and learning. I think that's one of the things we just don't do enough of. It is a We try to use lagging KPIs like number of leads or number of sales or these other metrics to determine how our website should be set up. And that is completely false, right? There has to be genuine leading KPIs like customer surveys or doing questionnaires or doing panels or even spending money doing paid tests to see what happens on these pages and then iterating fast iteration to get to the best outcome of what's on your pages and how you want consumers to engage with the content that you have. And that's an important note there. Engage with the content that we have versus fall into a funnel. Because if you don't actually know what the intended engagement is, you don't actually know what the funnel is for that page. And then you don't actually know what the outcome should be for that page. And those are very important things. And I deal with this all the time with marketers, which is like, oh, Jordan, we just need more top of funnel content. If we got more top of funnel content, everyone would know about our product, everything would be fine. And I'll be like, boy, that's yeah. And I want to go to the moon tomorrow. Like, it's just not that simple of an outcome to just say I want top of funnel. What you actually need to be thinking about is like, what kind of engagements do you want on your site? And then I can tell you what kind of top of funnel content can help you get that kind of engagement on your site. But you can't just guess at the top of funnel because there's so many components to that we probably don't have enough time to cover in this podcast.
No, but I really appreciated how you just navigated that. I think a lot of us, I just remember the CEO stomping over and demanding mass blast emails because that's how you scale, or the other one stomping over and saying digital advertising is how you scale. Really asking them, what are you trying to solve? What are you trying to get more of, less of? Let me understand, what are you trying to see? That was a beautiful transition that totally changes the conversation from, okay, we'll build more content.
Right. I mean, the one of the most amazing stories that I have that I've recently experienced is a mental health platform that we're working with. The CEO shared with me that for the better part of a year, they've been completely missing the mark in talking to their audience. The main buyer they have are parents who have, anxiety over their children. Maybe their child is going through a very difficult time, whether it be depression or other mental health challenges. And so their main focus in the way that they were having a conversation or sharing with that decision maker, this parent, was to be very like logical and very like medical about the situation, right? Like, we can help you through therapy or these other solutions to so sign up with us and we're going to help your child with this challenge. But no parent is going to give up that information and say, sure, give me a call because that makes a lot of sense. Not when they have anxiety, not when they have fear, not when they don't understand it, maybe when they've never gone through those types of emotions before. And if that's the case, you have to have a totally different conversation. And you have to start on your website having a completely different conversation. And where we narrowed in, and this is the craziest example, where we narrowed in is, why don't we talk about something that genuinely is relatable and understandable to everyone who's involved in this, the child, the parent, the therapist, the combined forces behind that. And why don't we start with something simple as like, does your son have a dirty bedroom?
Or is how your child using the internet keeping you up at night?
Exactly. Is Facebook ruining your relationship with your child, right? Every parent can empathize with that, right? And every parent's gonna be like, hell yeah, I'm giving you my email. Of course, Facebook's ruining this for us. And so these kinds of breaking down barriers of, son's dirty rooms and internet's ruining how we have conversations with our children completely change the tone from your kid has depression and your child is having suicidal thoughts. Like, those things aren't going to really get a parent to go, yes, please call me today because I'd like to sign up for this. And so that shift, it's a radical shift. It's a 180 shift from how you might think about it if you're a PhD medical professional. But when you're trying to have that conversation on the internet, you need to really think through how that party, that other party, that customer, that partner is going to understand your message.
And I really want B2B marketers to hear this because buyer journeys are not linear. We're dealing with a ton of people, and their number one concern is that they'll make a decision to purchase something that fails. That's a very emotional thing. So, yeah, it definitely applies in B2B as well. It's interesting to hear
Question.
B2C having the same struggle. It makes
Oh, no
sense.
doubt. No doubt. I mean, I think I actually don't really believe that B2B or B2C are all that far apart. I mean, my career has been in both sides of it. And shockingly, it really all comes down to being able to relate with your core customer and break down those fears or needs in a very clear and actionable way. And the reality is that there are some unique components that would happen after the fact, once the consumer makes their decision or how quickly they make their decision, but that doesn't change that initial messaging and how that resonates with that decision maker.
I can't think of a better note to land on. That was amazing. Thank you, Jordan. Where can people find you
Absolutely.
online to network?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, Jordan Cooney, and you can definitely reach out. I will definitely follow up within all of those spam messages that I get for for coaching and whatnot. That's a great place to reach me, or Previsible. Previsible.io is our website. You can check us out there and reach out there too.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the Revenue Marketing Report. Please tell two friends, subscribe, download, whatever you can helps. And for those of you looking for more great content like this, check out CaliberVine.com.